1, 2, 3, this is Dr. Alex Avila with Love University, and we're back. I'm an author, speaker, and psychologist, and every week we talk about how to love yourself, others, and higher nature, how to improve your life and your self-esteem, your relationships, your spirituality, basically how to be a happy person and also a loving person that can contribute to the world. Now, today's topic is one of my favorites, but to start out with, I'm going to take a deep breath, and I invite you to do the same. Lean back in your chair, maybe drink something warm drink. And we're going to talk about something that can be very useful for your daily life. It is called practicing quietness and solitude in a frantic world, the joys of you. Now, when we hear the word solitude, we think of creating a mental world in which we are at peace and relaxed. Quietness has to do with stilling that external noise, the noise of other people, of technology, and also the inner noise, your own thoughts, your own worries, fears, anxieties. And basically having poise and balance in your life, in your mind, body, and soul. Biologically, we're given a chance to have solitude when we have sleep, when we have 6, 8, 10 hours of sleep a night. But many of us have a hard time sleeping. We wake up, we have worries and anxieties, so it's hard to get a good night's sleep. A big part of the problem is that we live in a noisy society. If you live near a big city, there's traffic, there's crowds of people. And then we have technology that's constantly stimulating us. So we are a victim to overstimulation, all the different things that are happening, cell phone, internet. So you wake up in the morning, you might check your cell phone, you get in the car, you listen to radio. You're at work, you're surrounded by people chattering away. You may go to the gym and put on your earphones, listen to music, and then you get home, you might watch Netflix or checking your phone and be on the internet at the same time. So oftentimes you're overwhelmed with all these different distractions and things that are coming to your mind. And part of the problem is that many people are afraid to be bored. They're afraid to be by themselves and listen to their own thoughts and feelings. And this is actually one of the best times when you are quiet, you can get new ideas and have creativity. But many times it's hard for people to do that, just to sit still, what we call meditation or relaxation. And some people need an audience. They need other people to respond to them, to give them a sense of identity. They say that some reality stars feel very depressed once the reality show ends because they don't know who they are. Now they don't have an audience or they don't have people to validate who they are. Now, the important thing to recognize is that solitude is not loneliness. Solitude is an intentional choice that you want to be alone for a period of time to recharge your batteries, to relax, to find peace. A loneliness is when you have a craving for other people and you can't fulfill that craving or for a particular kind of person. Now, people who are introvert energy, and I'm an introvert energy person myself, are those people that actually enjoy their own company. They get energy from their own thoughts and they like to think things over. Now, many times you can be a little bit surprised that an introvert person can be very outgoing for periods of time. They can be very sociable, very confident in speaking, but their energy then is exhausted. They need to go home and recharge their batteries, maybe take a hot tub and listen to music or relax. An extrovert person loves to be out with people and they get energy from other people, from socialization. So an introvert has different needs for alone time. They actually need a little bit more alone time. Extroverts need less time. Now in the past, introverts have been criticized and there's been almost a stereotype against them that they're isolated people, that they're antisocial, that they're selfish. And recently, books have come out, and I wrote a book called The Gift of Shyness and also talked about introversion, in which introvert people can actually be great listeners. They can be reflective thinkers and even be sensitive because they go within themselves. So part of that is learning how to appreciate the introvert personality. And they say that there are at least 50 or even 60% of people in society are introverts today. And maybe it's even growing now with the reliance on internet and other things. People can go a little bit more within their own heads. And it can be a positive because the introvert takes time to think about things. They reflect so they can come up with great ideas. Extroverts, on the other hand, are maybe good at persuading people and social connections and marketing, which can be great counterbalance as well. But the key is to have a balance. Research does show that socialization, being with people and having friendships is very important to your mental health, to your physical health. People who have friends often have fewer health problems and live longer. But the key is balance, to find that balance between having your own private time, your solitude, your quietness, and also being with people and socializing. So there really is kind of a battle between being alone and being around others in social settings. From an evolutionary standpoint, it's important for survival in the elder times to be with people because they can protect you from the predators and also you can share food and you have protection. And you can be grateful for their company, but at the same time, you might be resentful that you have to meet their approval, you have to have obligations toward them. And also you may lose your individuality. So it is a wonderful thing if you can combine both the socialization and also that independence, that little bit of alone time. In fact, Viktor Frankl, one of the greatest psychiatrists of the 20th century, was in the Nazi concentration camps. And he said you would think it would be important to be with other people that were in the camp for shared companionship and for support. And that was true. But he also said it was a tremendous blessing just to find 5 minutes of time where he could be by himself and kind of be within his own nature and be a little bit independent of mind and spirit. It was refreshing. So no matter what situation you're in, having that alone time, having that quiet time can be very beneficial to you. And there are many benefits to having solitude or silence as well. Number one, you have more energy. You come out of it with more motivation, more productivity, more concentration. Many times, your greatest ideas come when you're alone, when you're in that kind of quiet space where you can think and things come to you. If you believe in a higher power, it could be a great time to commune with your spiritual guide, your God, or your spiritual essence. One of the challenges we have in our modern society, technological society, is that people are afraid or concerned about how other people think. So you have to be vigilant. You have to put energy into, what am I going to say? Am I going to say the wrong thing? Are people going to approve or disapprove of me? And there's oftentimes the need to explain yourself to other people as to why you did something, because you want other people to like you or approve of you. So the key is to move away from that. You'll develop an individuality where you can live apart from others and also be with others. And many times when you spend time apart from your loved ones, you actually appreciate them more because you're in your imagination. You feel the love you have for them. And then when you come back again, you can express it to them in a different way, as opposed to if you're there with them all the time, there might be annoying or there might be something difficult that you don't like about them or they don't like about you. So a little bit of time apart can actually be healthy in a relationship. And sometimes you have a couple where one partner wants a lot of attention and they may feel abandoned if the other partner doesn't give it to them. The other partner may want more alone time and they feel maybe oppressed or they feel intruded upon. So they need to find a balance, a healthy balance in which they can spend time together, maybe a little bit of time apart, the so-called boys or girls night out perhaps, or maybe have individual hobbies that they do. And then they come back together and they appreciate each other more. There's more love because they've rejuvenated themselves. They found their inner essence. Because many times in a relationship, you need to love yourself first. And we talk about this a lot at Love University. If you have that inner appreciation for who you are, you can bring that to your partner and they can bring it to you. Two people that love themselves can love each other in a much stronger and powerful way if they're able to have their individuality as well. Now, there was a famous British author named Patrick Fermor who wanted to write a best-selling book. And he needed quiet time, so he actually went to a monastery in Europe. He actually checked himself into a monastery. And in the beginning, he said it was very awkward. He felt bored and, you know, it's very quiet and there's nothing to do. And then he found that he was very drowsy. He would start to sleep many hours a day. And he was totally exhausted. And then after a period of time, he actually felt rejuvenated, invigorated by the quiet time and the space to think and to write. And then he started sleeping only 4 or 5 hours a night. He felt this incredible energy. And then what he realized is that living in the big city had taken away a lot of his emotional energy, having to deal with people and small talk and a lot of the crowds and things like that. He no longer had that problem. So he was free, now that he lived in this quiet place for a period of time, to get back to his individual self. And he found that he can really contribute a lot more to society and write better and even be more efficient because he had recaptured that energy and that power that he had before. So how do we do that? Let's say you're listening to this right now and you're saying, wait a minute, I have kids, you know, I'm busy. I don't have time to be by myself and have this so-called silence and solitude. And the truth is that you can make the right time and the right space for it, and you need to. It can really help your life in many ways. So the first thing you need to do is believe that you can have solitude and quietness and that you deserve it. Some people think of it as a guilty pleasure. You know, I really can't do it. You know, I have to take care of my children, my spouse, work and things like that. Maybe if I go on vacation, I'll do it, or when I'm retired. But in reality, you need to do it now. You need to take care of yourself. Think of it as a self-care or self-love. If you take a little quiet time, private time to re-energize yourself and to, you know, have that sense of who you are. And many times, it actually increases the love that you have for your family and increases your patience. Some parents may become impatient because they're always around the kids and the kids are a little bit demanding. But when you take a little private time, quiet time, you come back and you have more tolerance for them and more love as well. So it could be a great benefit for your family. Now, some people think, well, I'm not going to live in a monastery. I'm not going to be a so-called nun or priest. But you can actually incorporate this into your everyday life, this idea of having quiet and solitude time for yourself. And you might even say, X number of times a year, maybe 4 to 6 times a year, I'm going to take 4 hours a day, you know, take a half day, and just be all by myself and think about my life. You know, what have I accomplished up to now? What do I want to do in the future? What are my goals? Maybe you can set objectives. You can write it down. You can create a vision board. But just be by yourself to kind of reconceptualize what you want to be in life. What is my meaning? What is my purpose? It's really a good way because many times we're frantically running around, we're driving places, we're doing things, and we don't have time or we don't take time to kind of look at the big picture. You know, what is that I really want in life? How can I contribute more? How can I give more love? Another good tip is to get up about 20 minutes early before the rest of the people get up in your household, if you have family members or roommates, and just have that little quiet time before everyone else is up. And when you wake up, take a few minutes, lie in bed, maybe meditate a little bit, breathe deeply, and don't check on your phone, you know, quickly as some people do, but just be relaxed. Maybe drink some warm drink, it could be some tea, and take that as a time of just getting the day started, you know, getting yourself in a slow and steady understanding of what you want to do in the day. Also, simple things can be very powerful in terms of having this quiet or this solitude time. Turn off your phone. Very simple. For a lot of people, it's hard to do. You know, people have their phone on all the time. And of course, technology can be wonderful. You know, it connects you with other people that you would never meet. You can find things you would never know about. You can do things you could never do. So it's an amazing tool. But again, people become almost addicted to it, constantly having their phone, even in the shower, in the toilet. So turn off your phone for periods of time. Close your door. You know, if you have a room that you can be in, maybe you work in that room or you can spend some time. And of course, you might have children or other things that come in the way. But find a place where you can just be by yourself for a period of time. Do your dailies without extra sound or technology. For example, working out. Try working out without any headphones or any kind of sound, just to see what your mind tells you, your thoughts, what comes to your head. Grooming, you know, in the bathroom. Don't have any music or anything on. Driving to work. Eating. Try eating by yourself without any technology. No phones, no internet, nothing like that. Just savor the food, swallow it, feel the sensations of eating, and maybe some thoughts come to your mind as well. Now, it's not about being an isolated person. It's not about being antisocial. You can always have dinner with friends or spend time with your loved ones or your family. This is just a little bit of time for you, just to get in touch with the way you really think and feel. Another good tip is to treat your shower like your castle. I personally love to take showers and baths, and many times I get great ideas, and a lot of people get good ideas when they're in a shower, in the bathtub. It's a very relaxing time. You know, the door's locked, unless you're with your partner, which is a different kind of shower or bathtub. But you're there individually, you know, coming up with ideas, coming up with maybe solutions, and it comes to you naturally. So treat it as a time of rejuvenation. Now, you might want to also get a massage or, you know, things like that, or walk in nature, do some gardening, stuff that really makes you feel that you are relaxing, right? You're getting in touch with yourself. Stop by an open church. Maybe you can go to a church that's very quiet and walk in and stay there for 15 minutes. Just kind of, you know, soak in the quietness of the place, the peace and the serenity. Now, something we talk about a lot in Love University is take a technology fast. In other words, turn off your technology, your phone, your internet for a period of time. It could be half day. It could be a full day. Now, some people get scared when they hear this. Wait a minute, I can't do that. It could be an emergency. Of course, you can have a backup plan where someone can call you if there's something serious or an emergency. But part of the reason people don't want to do this many times is that they're afraid of missing out on something big. Some psychologists call it the lottery mentality. Well, I may get this big promotion at work, or maybe a long-lost lover will come out of the woodwork and want to get back together. But chances are that's not going to happen. This may be one in a, and who knows the odds in that. But most of the time, it's just trivial, everyday things you can get back to. So the key is to lose your fear of missing out. And just say, I want to spend some time just thinking, meditating, relaxing, doing something, a little activity, whatever it might be in nature, perhaps. And I just want to be myself, be with myself without any intrusions. Of course, going to nature, wide open spaces, research has shown, reduces depression, can improve your concentration. When you're out in nature in some wide open spaces, when there's greenery everywhere, it can really improve your mood quite a bit. And you can even ask your higher power, if you believe in a higher power, God or spiritual nature, questions about life, about yourself, about your meaning. Maybe you can even write them down. So you can commune with the higher nature, with the higher spirit, and find some of the answers that you're looking for. Really, the key to this, I believe, is to reclaim your spirit. Many times we lose track of our essential nature, our inner nature, our spirit. And we get caught up in distractions. We get caught up in other people's demands. And many times people get angry at us, irritated, if we don't respond quickly to their texts or their cell phone calls. They say, you don't care about me. You're too busy. Despite that, you need to realize that only when you are relaxed and loving to yourself can you be loving to others. So this is a great benefit that you can do to yourself and to others when you take your private time. It's not about being selfish or about just thinking about yourself. It's really about thinking about yourself, others, and overall a higher nature, you know, the spiritual side of life. So I challenge you this week, Love University listeners, to go out and reclaim your inner quietness and solitude. Even if you're an extrovert personality, maybe this is hard for you to do because you like people, you like to be around them. Take that 20, 40 minutes, three times a week or longer, and find an activity that you can do that is quiet, peaceful, and maybe even with solitude, whether it's gardening, walking in nature. Maybe you want to get a massage or facial, take a bath, meditate, play with animals. Whatever it is that you can do that's quiet, you don't have to talk a lot, you don't have to chatter, you don't have to use a lot of excess energy. You might be by yourself in this situation, but it's a way that you can recapture, again, that relaxation, that peaceful spirit, that creativity, and that loving nature. So again, this is your challenge this week. Love University. Have a quietness and solitude challenge. I want to hear anybody that have some success stories or questions about this topic today. You can write to us at lovetype4u, the number four, letter U, lovetype4u, at AOL.com. You can call us at 310-226-8090. Our website is loveuniversity.love. And of course, you can follow us and like us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. So again, Love University students, this time, put away your laptop, your iPad, your iPhone, and go out and be solitude with yourself for a period of time. And then you're going to come back and you're going to be even more joyful, more loving, and more happy with the loved ones in your life, because people are, of course, very important to you, your loved ones, but also you are very important to yourself, your own love within yourself. Until next time, this is Dr. Alex Avila, Love University.